Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, welcome. Pastor David here with Pastor Bob Wilk across the table.
Howdy.
And Jeremiah Tasco, one of our teachers at Spirit School of Ministry. And today is one of my favorite subjects. Well, not really, but it's something that we know a lot about. Idols. If you're a sinner, you know about idols.
Something right? We practice a lot.
And I actually felt qualified to talk about this subject. Not so much justice and righteousness, but idols. Have a lot of experience there.
That's why we invited JT, because he's my idol. Oh,
yeah. American Idol. Yeah.
Let's talk about idols. Do you want to be on the podcast? You know all about them.
Yeah. We have a resident expert on idolatry. Okay.
Professional idolater. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
PI.
Unfortunately, yeah, God is good. He delivers us from these things.
Yes.
And maybe you're listening and you think, what? Idols, like nobody worships idols. That's like a big block of wood that they used to worship.
Right.
But actually, idols go a lot deeper than that. So I just want to put this out to either of you guys. If I were to simply ask you, what is an idol? What would you say?
Are you going to me first?
Yeah, you look like you're.
Is that because I have so much experience with idols, or is that what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would say, what is an idol? You're just asking me simple questions. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, simple.
For me, it's. Anything or everything I put before God.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, it's that simple, which for me, I have a lot of experience like these things. All do.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Serious about that.
Yeah. You shall have no gods before me.
Mm.
You know, I think like sometimes we spiritualize that, but he literally means don't put something before me.
Right.
You won't be able to see me if there's something between you and me, right?
Oh.
You're putting an image in between my image and you, right? Mm. And so it's blocking you. Mm. That's a great place to start. Why would God forbid us to make idols? It seems random, right? Like, why does he care? Why does he care that you put things before him or that you worship a created thing? Like, why does he care about that?
Yeah, great question. I think when he created man, he wanted a certain kind of communion with man.
Mm-hmm.
And if we as human beings put something before God, it cuts off that communication. Mm. It cuts off our affection, right? And we know a lot of idolatry has to do with worship. It's actually the thing that you serve. It's the thing that you prefer. It's the thing that you give your most time and attentiveness to, the thing that has your ear the quickest. And so those all are things that speak to relationship to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so if I don't give my ear quickly to the Lord or my heart quickly to the Lord, it means I'm refusing him in a way. And so I'm a created being. He wove me in my mother's womb and, you know, of course, created man and woman and humankind. And so if humankind is rejecting him in any way, it's bad. It's just a negative on the relationship. So as to why he did that is because he's sovereign. Mm-hmm. And he just knew that that's what we needed, because if left to our own devices, we would start to worship everything.
Yeah.
Which he
knew the best way to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good answer.
Yeah,
and he's jealous.
I hear you saying, actually, he just knew the best way for us to have relationship, with him and probably with each other too.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not just probably, most likely.
Yeah, yeah.
And so anything less than that, the problem,
right?
It's an idol.
Yeah, it's actually, I like that. So I think of the communion that he has with the Holy Spirit and with the Son Jesus, and the relationship that they all share. They are always present to each other, always preferring one another. That it's the ultimate epitome of relationship. So he's welcoming us into that.
Yes.
Except we in our idolatry will take our eyes off of that and we'll try to do the same thing with inanimate objects or with our own heart, our own self, or with money or whatever it may be. I'm sure we'll go over all of it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe worse than that, we'll just bring our idols into the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, that's muddying up the water.
Yeah.
Good there. Unless, it's like, oh yeah.
So you can't have a God before him and you can't have a God beside him.
No. Mm.
Right. Those are two categories, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I think you did a good, that was a good insight that has a lot to do with attention and affection, and that's key in relationship. And so if you think about God in that context, says, my name is jealous, in the context of the Ten Commandments, where he says, you shouldn't make a graven image, you shouldn't have any other gods before me. And he says, my name is jealous, because our attention rightly should be focused on adoring God, just as God adores the Spirit and the Son, right? And that's returned. That's exactly what he wants for us. That's what we're created for. And when he says, you know, don't make an idol, he's saying, don't put your attention on something that can't satisfy you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look to something to provide. I think an idol, like we look to an idol, and it really could provide security to us. Like, we can think of examples of idols, but it could provide security. It could provide comfort. It could provide pleasure. Like, right. Those are all things that we're supposed to find in him. Mm-hmm. Security, yeah. Satisfaction, comfort. He's the one that is going to supply those things. Right. Sometimes he uses means, like created things like money or food or relationships, like, but it's from him.
Right.
And we return our affection to him. And so that's why he says, I'm jealous. It's in the same way that we'd be jealous if our wife was giving more of her attention to someone else. Mm-hmm. That would be called an emotional affair,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it didn't go in all the way to a physical affair.
Mm-hmm.
And so God says, no, I desire to be your focus, and I desire to be with you in relationship, in a covenant. And so there can't be all these other things that are pulling us this way and that, right?
Right.
So I just thought it was important to ask, like, why it was.
Well, it goes beyond. It goes even beyond just an emotional affair you're having mm-hmm. with someone else. It is actually a physical affair. You're mm-hmm. bringing somebody into It's like bringing somebody into your marriage bed.
Yeah, right.
It's like totally. You know, it's a taboo. Well, for some people, maybe not at all, because they will practice that type of idolatry. But that's
sure.
It's like doing that with God. Like, he's invited us into that intimacy, into
right.
that relationship, to that covenant with him. And now all of a sudden you're bringing other things in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. That's the chief Old Testament illustration of idolatry is adultery.
Yes.
Because you committed adultery against
yes.
me.
Yes.
Right.
You committed sexual immorality on every high hill under every green tree. Because
right.
mm-hmm. that's how he sees it. He's not just saying, like, oh, they worshiped wrong. They didn't sing the right songs in right. church. They didn't burn the right incense. He's like, it actually has to do with the heart.
So. I love your mad critical God voice.
Yeah. I didn't foresee them doing anything like this. No.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of truth to that. I believe a lot of times people just overlook, or they try to smooth it over. And the reality of the seriousness of that is so incredibly important to us, because it was the one thing
right.
that caused him to divorce Israel.
Mm-hmm. He's going deep right now.
Oh, come on now. Mm-hmm. That was the thing.
Right.
It wasn't a bunch of other things. That
right.
was it. You will have mm-hmm. no other gods before mm-hmm. me.
That's right.
That means before me, putting them before me, or bringing them before me.
Exclusivity right there.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Covenant wow. God.
Yeah. I think the other point I wanted to just, I think that's so good. And like, you see why it grieves the heart of God. And sometimes, when I read the Bible as a kid, I'd be like, why did God care so much about, you know, them bowing to a statue? Mm-hmm. Why does it matter? But when you see that he's the heart of a bridegroom and the heart of a father and a brother, and he doesn't want us putting our allegiance in something that's going to betray us ultimately.
Right.
The other point about idols is that they're known as images, graven images. And I think this is key in our culture too.
Mm-hmm.
There are many images that call to us that I am tempted to worship,
mm-hmm.
right. if I'm being honest, right? And so God says, you know, like there's an image we are supposed to worship, which is his son, Jesus, the image of God.
Right.
But when we don't worship that image, we're going to exchange it for a different image.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not only that adultery, there's a different exchange. There's an exchange of like beauty, an exchange of like awe.
Right.
And I think, you know, there's the image you could be worshiping another human being. You could be worshiping your own image of yourself and your glory and your self-improvement.
Right.
That's an image you have that you worship.
Mm-hmm.
Someday I'm going to be happy. Like, someday I'm going to meet my soulmate. That's an image.
Mm-hmm.
All these things this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
To me, like, this is why you think, like, why is he starting with idols in the Ten Commandments?
Mm.
Why didn't he start with murder? Why doesn't he start with the really important stuff? But it all flows from commandment. Martin Luther made the point, if you get commandment number one wrong, you're going to get all the other commandments wrong.
You don't have to worry about the other commandments.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, I think images are an interesting thing. And idols are so interesting from God's perspective, mm-hmm. because it's interesting because, you know, we see this in the prophets. We see this all through the Bible. He looks at images and he's like bewildered, like they can't deliver. You understand that? You make them like this, you know, you get a piece of wood, you carve it up,
right?
And it has a mouth and it can't talk to you. It won't. Okay. It has ears and eyes, but it doesn't listen and it doesn't see you. Mm. It can't answer you back.
Right.
And God's just like, really? That's your idol. And when we start to think about the idols we put in front of God, mm-hmm. if we're serious about actually evaluating our life, we're like, wow, that idol really can't deliver, because long term, only God can deliver in our lives.
I think long term is key.
Yes.
And maybe exactly. In the instant.
In the instant, it may give some pleasure or kind of solace for your soul,
right.
make you kind of think like this is cool. I believe it's because you have control over that idol.
Right.
And actually, I believe God looks at that too. He's like, you have control over that idol.
Right.
And most people would be like, oh, I was just taken back by that idol and, you know. It just came in and it just took over me.
You made it.
It's like you made it. You have control over
yeah.
it. And God, you know, and you're bowing down to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you know where it came from and how it was made, and it has no abilities, and yet you're still bowing your life to it.
It's
and, yeah. right, submitting your life to this thing.
Right.
And here God's like, I was the one that delivered you out of death. I was the one that delivered you to life.
Right.
I'm the one that meets your needs. And like you were saying earlier, Pastor David, ultimately, I'm the one you're going to have to deal with.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, that's the epitome of dumb. dumb idol, right?
It's dumb and dumber.
Dumb and dumber, yeah. Right? God's looking and goes, the idol's pretty dumb, but you, you got real dumb.
He knows he doesn't have anything going on. You should know better.
Yeah.
That's
he can't think.
Funny.
He can't think, yeah. But you, what's right. the problem?
It's this question of image was interesting. You know, we know in Genesis the account that a man was made in the image and likeness of God. So we're created being, and in his image we were made, which is amazing. God also gave us something. I kept hearing this word imagination.
Yeah.
He gave us the ability to create and think. And so it's bizarre, you know, why would a person, you know, start to worship a golden calf?
Right.
What is a golden calf that can't move and can't do anything? What is that actually doing for you? Like, that's why God's looking at us going, come on.
Well,
like,
I just got some weird revelation while you're saying that right here today.
Yeah.
So God is like, he's looking at us creating our image that has nothing in itself.
Right.
And yet when he created us in his image and likeness, the first thing he did was breathe him into us.
Yeah.
Right. We are breathing, like, what are we breathing into those idols we create? We actually can't.
Our freedom.
Exactly that. We are like subjugating ourselves to the idol rather than being able to breathe our spirit in there. Those idols are not designed for us to breathe into.
Right.
Right? They're not at all.
Right,
and,
right.
And it's just crazy. Like I said, that whole, like this thing just went across in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, wait.
Yeah, that's what's happening in my mind right now. Right,
this is the difference that's going on here with idols. There's like, God's really serious about this first commandment.
Right.
It's like, because he understands how we were made and the reason, the purpose, the relationship, the why behind why we were made, and then how, inspiration of spirit into us, and how we are remade, right? Born again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the spirit of God actually coming into us,
right?
And us being his temple. Whereas, you know, we create the wooden things, we have to put them in a temple.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. A temple, right? Like every ancient temple had an image of the God.
Right.
And so when God created his temple, Eden, he did put his image in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those men and women.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so he's like, why are you making images?
Yes.
To fall down. You are the image.
Right.
Right.
And Jesus is the image. Like we're a fallen, corrupt image that he's redeeming.
Right.
As we look to the true image.
Absolutely.
As we put our focus on Christ, who is the image of God, Colossians 1:16. mm-hmm. we're transformed into that likeness.
Right.
Right. And so that's what God's restoring, what was uh-huh. what was lost. Instead, you know, instead of us looking at that image, we are imagining mm-hmm. vain imaginings
right.
of how could I become a God? How could I become right. great? How could I be totally satisfied, secure,
right.
comfort? How right. how could I do that? Not actually, you know, taking God's leading in that.
Right.
Not realizing that you were made the image of God
yeah.
to radiate his light.
Well, God, yeah. mm-hmm. he's got power associated with him, not just words. And so do we. And it's just funny when you're talking, I was thinking, oh, you remember Dagon?
Yeah.
And
Dagon,
he said, Dagon. He's like, he's put in with the box of God, right?
Right.
Okay, let's just call it the box with nice little angels on top. That's, like, that's not what knocked Dagon over. It was the power and presence mm-hmm. of
right.
God that came and that was part that resided. Mm-hmm. He resided there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Dagon Dagon couldn't get himself up. He couldn't like super glue his head back on. He was done.
Right. Right?
Because God, and it doesn't matter if you prop him all up, you know,
right.
All the king's men,
you know, right.
building him up again. He's yeah. like, no, he's going over again.
Right.
Right. Because his power. And so this is the deal. We are made, and I love the way you're going this, we are made in the image
mm-hmm.
and likeness of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we are his temple, and we carry his power.
And his image, right? Yeah.
And
yeah.
his image. When we speak, our words are actually have life mm-hmm. associated with them. They have power. They are creative. They're right. not just like, oh, that was a nice word.
Right.
You know? No. They can actually create life.
Yeah.
In somewhat.
So yes. To that point, that's, I think, it also answers one of your questions, like, why did God do this? Like, why did he say, you shall not have any other gods before me? And this is it. He's nature. The way he made us and designed us is to, for relationship with him, but also then our job and duty at the time was to be in the earth, fulfill it, subdue it, you know, run this place, basically, in a manner of speaking. Mm-hmm. And we had a creative ability to do that through his power, and then that kept our imagination or a creative ability, if you will, or New Testament mind of Christ, yes. that's all flows beautifully, perfectly from the creator through the created being into the creation.
Yes.
Like we're his agents here stewarding the creation and setting, keeping creation free and all this stuff. But then it all got jacked up because of the image got distorted. Right. Mm-hmm. In the garden, there was an image that was represented mm-hmm. to Eve. And oh, God didn't really say that. He knows that you will become this and you'll become this. He started speaking to her imagination.
Right.
And then all of a sudden her perception changed and it looked good to eat the fruit. And Adam was like, this all sounds fine to me. If you're down with it, I'm down with it. And both of them sinned. And that entire enticement was about their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the image that they good. Already were, but then it got tainted through deception, through their a wicked perception that was thrown yes. to them, which is, I mean, it's just, we'll dip into America in a minute because that's like exactly what happens mm-hmm. to us.
Mm-hmm.
But this just drew her away. She focused on that. Adam focused on that, and then it separated them ultimately from God because they were now operating out of their own fleshly imagination, yep. their own mind.
Yeah. What's crazy about that is God, he gave them dominion over the entire garden,
right?
Including, right, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Matter of mm-hmm. fact, they were responsible to tend it.
Mm-hmm.
So they had ultimate dominion over it,
right?
Right. If they stopped tending it, what might happen?
Right.
Right. And so, and yet they, like I said, they served. Then maybe that was the first tree that they carved a little idol out of.
Ooh, interesting.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, I think anyway. I think it does speak of a deep desire in human beings to see the beauty of God, to see an image of glory, right? And and God is really saying, don't try to make that with your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
Display that with your life.
Right.
See it in other people that carry my image. Ultimately, see it in the Christ.
Right.
The seed of the woman who's going to come, and you'll see what I'm really like. You'll see the ultimate beauty of the majestic yet humble God, the mm-hmm. crucified yet resurrected God. Like mm-hmm. you'll see
good.
The ultimate beauty that I designed humanity to be, the dominion that's a meek dominion.
Right.
You'll see something that it you can't put it into words, and you definitely can't make it with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely can't even conceive it with your imagination.
Right.
You have to receive that from God and be made into that image and likeness.
Right.
That's what God's calling us to. So he doesn't want us to settle for a different image
mm-hmm.
that is a slight bloodless approximation of what his glory actually is.
Right.
And there is beauty in these images that we create. I mean, you think about it, like people that are caught in pornography, what are they doing?
Yeah.
They're worshiping an image of beauty that's a distortion of the image of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's less than the beauty of the Lord.
Yes.
It's a pretty good approximation. It's probably like as close as people can get, but it also enslaves them. You're literally worshiping images.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what pornography is.
Yeah.
Or I guess you could say video games or just anything else that you're completely, you know, wide-eyed, you're drinking that in. You're drinking in some image of God, like some glorious thing where you are supposed to do that. You're just drinking from a poison well.
Right.
You're drinking from a man-made cistern. You've left the well of living waters and cut for yourself other cisterns mm-hmm. that cannot satisfy you.
Well, they are all images that are have promise but cannot deliver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They cannot deliver on the promise.
Right.
Matter of fact, what they deliver is just the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, much like, you know, the tree we were talking about.
Right.
You'll be like God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
slick oil.
Oh, it's really, yeah.
Salesman. Snake oil.
Don't you want to be like God? Somebody should have stood up and said, dang it, I am.
Who's this guy? Who let him in?
Yeah.
I mean, he talks to us all the time. Anything I want to know about knowledge, I can go ask.
Right. So you're hitting on it there, Dave. Like it's our design, like the way God designed us, right? He designed us to worship. We are designed us to serve. It's another way of saying it.
Yeah.
But those are synonymous. Worship is service. So we are designed, every single human being, to serve something.
Yeah.
And so whether it's serving money, whether it's serving our own ambition, whether it's serving our local community, our family, our church, like no matter how you cut it, you're serving something. There's nobody that doesn't serve anything that exists and is walking around at least alive today. You know, but that's the divine design from the Lord. And so, yes, there's all these enticements for us to serve and turn that attention and affection onto something that is fruitless.
Yeah.
Right? It's empty. It's dead. It serves no purpose. It might spout a promise, but can never deliver on any of it.
Mm.
And so I wouldn't even call it a promise. It's lies. It's
definitely a lie.
It's empty marketing. It's words and conjecture that try to entice us to do things or to become something or to pursue something that at the end of the day has no eternal benefit or and maybe even natural benefit.
Right. Well, a promise that cannot be delivered on is called a lie.
Right. It's not a promise.
Right. That's what it is, right? It's no other.
It's a pyramid scheme.
It's a pyramid
scheme. Right. Well, that's why he then, when he called them, you know, he said, you're an adulterous nation. He said, you're covenant breakers. Mm-hmm. You guys have reneged against what you agreed to. I'll be your God. You be my people. I'll provide for you. I'll do this. I did this for you for 40 years. No clothes wore out. No shoes wore out. You had food for everything. Then I put you in a land of promise, and I wanted to then teach you how to take it and learn how to be the people who dominate.
Masters of it.
Yes. Control it, run it, and let me reinstitute what I originally designed. And they all were like, oh, well, what's going on with the Canaanite gods? Yeah. And what's going on with these gods? And they all have other things for us. What do you have for us?
Yeah.
Mammon from the middle of nowhere? We don't want that anymore, right? And it just, we get so distracted.
Make us a king.
Oh,
was that idolatry? Wait, I can idolize a political leader?
Oh,
I can idolize a political system?
Let's get into it.
I'm an idolater. If I put my country above God, I'm an idolater.
Hey, wait a minute. We're gonna get thrown off.
Who are you saluting?
Let's do it.
Yep. Yeah, oh man.
That's true, by the way. So I was gonna ask, we might as well get into the rubber meets the road. I said that for the second time.
We've been on the road several times.
But what are some, we've mentioned quite a few actually, but can we think of any other examples today in our Western civilization, our American culture, that are real common idols that people are enslaved to or you know, kind of ensorcelled by.
I'll say a few of the ones that are probably pretty obvious. I know they were for me. Entertainment, any form, whether, and it could be good Christian content. Obviously, bad content for Christians is a no-fly zone. But, you know, even good Christian content or wholesome baking shows or whatever. But if I'm spending in a crazy amount of time, let me just put it this way. If I'm spending more time watching shows than I am reading the word, there's something out of balance.
Mm. Isn't that legalism?
Call it what you want.
I'm just pushing back.
I mean, I think it would be legalism if it was like, you're not supposed to watch any TV and you
have to
throw
do
your
1 hour
away.
Of Bible.
Right. It's there, it should be minutes. A 2-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can do that voice too. I like it.
Yeah.
Darn.
It's a helpful. It's helpful.
2-to-1
I'll do it
ratio.
1.8-to-1. Is that enough?
Oh, no. You're a heathen. Yeah. You're total heathen. Yeah. So entertainment, any form. One of the top ones in America is sports. We idolize sports and contests. We idolize celebrities and people who are doing things. And it's funny, it's kind of all stems from the same kind of vein of entertainment. Our own hobbies, pursuits, our own personal development. Now, growing as a human being is fantastic. Obviously, as Christians, we have to grow.
Yeah.
God has created us to grow and encourages us to grow. But there's a place where we start to grow in our own wisdom and knowledge and earthly, you know, stature, and my stack is this high, and all the things that we are accumulating, the Bible calls it the pride of life. And if that gets too out of whack, then we're serving that.
Yeah.
That's a few that come to mind for me.
Too many things.
America's really good at that. We are the global marketing machine.
Mm-hmm.
We push people, we push agendas, we push things, we push trends, and every single one of them are just, I'm going to say this word, rob our attention and affection on what is most important and what is most worthy of our time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go off the deep end on both of you guys here.
Because, go.
Especially since you are both young men still and fathers. Children.
Sure.
Children can be an idol. They're not supposed to be an idol. They're supposed to be completely part of your life. You know.
Yep.
You're supposed to be breathing into them the image and likeness of God that's in you and, you know, giving them God. But I'm going to say in America, people definitely make their kids an idol and they put them before the Lord.
Mm.
It's, and I know we just lost a bunch of people now.
Well, because they believe that, because we can believe our kids are ours.
Right.
And that they're in our image.
Yes.
And instead of knowing that they're the Lord's and the Lord's lent them to us to steward them and raise them and pour our lives into them and serve them, we think, oh, these are for my name. These are for my legacy. This is for my enjoyment. And we're using the person just like we could use anyone else. I totally agree with that.
Well, also, a lot of times I believe parents can be led around like by the nose by their children. Because they're
only redheads.
The only redhead. Yes. I understand that. I think. Yeah. But you know, they don't, you know, their children dominate them.
Yeah.
They tell them what to do, when to do it, why to do it, how to do it. And this is, you know, and then they start with the, making you feel sorry for them, the whining part. Now, I'm okay with a little kid whining because that's what they do. They're pretty selfish and all that.
Yeah.
But a idol requires attention.
Yeah.
That's a good line. Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
It does
require attention, or it's not an idol.
Right. Is that like talk radio and political news?
Yes.
Yeah. All requires your I gotta stay up to date. I gotta know. Yes. What's the poll number? What's this? What's
pulled,
that? Hold on.
Out his idol.
My idol just messaged me and it summoned me. That I say this all the time. I think I told Dad this the other day.
Summoned you.
This little device.
It's an iPhone for those listening.
While important.
Yes.
It's a phone. It's my smartphone. These little devices are probably the worst form of idol because we carry them around in our pocket and it buzzes us. It nudges us. It notifies us. I say it summons us.
Right.
Because if you are if you are not careful, you will be led through your entire life by this little device.
By the images that are on it?
All of it. The attention it demands of you. It's an immediate attention demand. And you know how it is. You can't go out anywhere and not somebody's not staring at their little idol. I mean iPhone. I mean cell phone. I personally have had to just.
They should change the name of it.
That's what I call it.
8.0.
I don't even call it the iPhone anymore. I call it the idol. And I'm like, I got to put my idol away. Lord God, I'm sorry.
Eat
like
that Apple one way or the
other. Yeah. Not serious. No, I read my Bible on my idol. Oh, that's cool. I mean, iPhone. I keep messing that up. God.
You can see the effect of it when you let a little kid look at it for 10 minutes. Mm. The kid will go insane if you take that thing away.
Oh yeah.
Insane.
It's amazing how young kids are around phones now. Yeah. They are totally locked in. Apparently your idol can be your best babysitter. Nowadays.
Well, domesticated.
Right? I mean, I see that. Yeah. I go like, wow.
I know. Hold on. Why don't you hold my idol, my little one.
Because I don't want to influence you. I want it to.
No, and now I can have my idol time so I can go watch my television and you can look at my idol that was in my
pocket.
That's
probably my chief.
That's
probably my chief idol now is David's time.
David's time.
My time.
Mm.
Me time? Your idol.
Me time.
By the way, this is the funny thing about we're talking in front of our idol phones, and they're listening. You know that, right?
Yeah, they're like.
All right. So you know the next time you open up, like for a Google search, idols are going to come up.
Oh, my gosh. Know,
hey, Moloch. Hey.
Sure. There's a sale on Ashira poles in Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really. Anybody need a bail?
I need a bail out.
Yeah. Man, it's real, man. And you know, there's just so many examples and the point to be made is that idols they're not mostly evil things. There are certain things that are evil, like evil movies, you know, evil substances, whatever, like that are just going to kill you that you're obsessed with and you give your life to it. There are evil idols, like biblical example would be like Molech demanded child sacrifice or something.
Sure.
There's just straight up evil stuff. But the things that are the most deceptive are the ones that are good.
Right.
That it's like, hey, like self-help was one that was brought up. If I just take one more seminar, if I just get, you know, one more book, I'm going to be such a better person. I'm going to have the tools. And it's like, that's not bad. Like you said,
right.
But people can get caught up in that. That's your time. That's your money. That's like, and that's a focus that's not on God and it's not on others.
Right.
It's not. There's so many other things that are good. Money. Money's good. Money's a tool. Like we just had Keturah in, you know, last time to talk about Christian business, and that can be a tool for the kingdom. It provides for our families. It's good to work. It's good to do that. But when it takes all your attention, all your time, and you're coveting, you want what someone else has. And the Bible says coveting is idolatry,
right?
In Colossians 3:5.
Right.
And so it's what makes it complicated because we're not just talking about the scary satanic stuff that you stay away from. It's things that you actually need. Food could be a huge idol for you.
Sure.
If that's where you're getting your comfort, you're getting your pleasure, you're getting a sense of security, that's a god. Paul said in Philippians 3, there's people that their god is their belly. You know, and that I think he was referring to, you know, other appetites as well when he mentioned that. But there's good things. Sex is a good thing. You can become a god. Aphrodite, Asherah, whatever. Those are, you know, wine
what about
was created good. It becomes
ministry.
Bacchus, all that.
Ministry. You're really hurting people. I know. Well,
you're hurting me.
People make ministry an idol. It's the same thing. They sacrifice their family on that idol, on the altar of that. I know. We all grew up most of us grew up in church. So, but you know, ministry is wonderful. We got to have it. You got to have really good leaders. You got to have, but if you idolize your pastor and they become God to you, they're your savior now. That's a problem.
Oh,
you know, I know this is touching some buttons. If you spend more time listening to their messages and then you do reading the Bible yourself, you just might want to check that, you know, before the Lord. But ministry too, like and having titles, and it's just the new thing. It's the quote American way, right? Oh, I'm going to be something great. So now I'm going to make myself a ministry and I'm this and I'm that. and I can do this and I can do that. And God's anointed me for this and God's anointed me for that. And I got to say, I ate a big, huge, humble pie on this probably like 7 or 8 years ago. And the Lord was like, you're none of these things unless you recognize that I made you, right? You're just a sounding brass, tingling cymbal.
I don't know.
You're a bunch of loud.
I'm Christian famous. I was going to use that term somewhere.
Hey, there's like 300 people in this world that know who I am.
That's funny.
Wait, hold a second. Let me check my phone. 290. Oh.
Just went down. I just lost one.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
It was your wife. She just.
That was me just now under the table. Out. I just unsubscribed.
Unsubscribed.
Don would unfollow me for sure. That's funny.
It's right.
We all love ministry. We all love ministers. We all know it's super important, but we know it can also become an idol. It becomes a thing we put before God, and we're more proud of our ministry than we are of our surrender.
Yeah. Yep. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's one to really contemplate. A couple other ones that really hurt. In America, we have a romantic culture. Mm. We have I'm going to be happy when I'm with my soulmate. I'm going to have the perfect wife, perfect husband. If I had really married the right person, everything would be going great. I obviously chose wrong. I'm disappointed in God. I'm disappointed in everything else. That's an idol. Yeah. You think that's going to save you.
Someone should look up what soulmate is, where it's
actually comes
it's
not so
from. It's no, not it's so it's an idol. No, yeah. Seriously, it's pure demonic.
Yeah.
It's the whole belief that there's this one soul or are you going to be connected to that soul?
The best way to crush another religion. The best way to crush another human being is put them in the place of God for your life.
Right. Right.
Demand that they provide your emotional needs.
Yes.
Demand that they provide your security.
Yes.
Demand that they make you feel good all the time.
Right.
Like, that'll crush somebody.
Yeah.
That's complete idolatry, right? And so sometimes, we're tempted to do that because we love our spouse. We want their approval. And, it's tempting to put them in that place where we're getting validated by them. And that's a form of idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
The last one that just comes to my mind that I struggle with is this idol of like certainty. Or the idol of being right.
Mm.
Or the idol of, I have my system. I have my worldview.
Yeah.
I'm correct.
The idol of pride.
It is like, all that is like, you can't threaten that. Like, if you're to threaten my tertiary views of eschatology, I'm going to be like, oh, no. I no longer have worth. Like, you're questioning my view of the millennium.
Right.
How could you do that? You're a heretic. It's like... You've lost perspective.
I can show you in the Bible. Yeah.
Like you've built your identity on being an expert, having perfect theology, perfect doctrine. You can actually, I hate saying this because I love the word of God. Hopefully people know that, but you can idolize the Bible. You can worship the Bible instead of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees did that.
Right.
He said, you guys think that the scriptures give you eternal life,
right?
But they speak of me and you won't come to me to have life. He's the living word.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a fine line, but you can, and that's one of the most damaging forms of idolatry. Mm-hmm. Where you're this close to the Lord, but you stop at you stop right at the goal line, and you worship the Bible rather than the living word of God.
Right,
that is a hard one.
Well, I think it's interesting because I think people, especially people in the world, they see through that, and they see a lot of times they may come into our presence and they see that we're giving them Bible, but not the Jesus. Lord,
right?
Not him, Jesus
the word,
Christ, the word,
and introducing
him to them to him,
the
person of Jesus that goes, because like I said, it's the Bible speaks of him. It's a demonstration of him. It's his principles, but he is actually one of the persons of God, and he's a man on top of that too, and he's real and not just this thing. And I think sometimes when like you said, I hate to say it almost, is that we make the Bible an idol, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's because I think you can't really read your Bible too much.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think you might be able to read your Bible too much if you don't allow it to read you.
Right. If you're reading it to make a point.
To make a point.
Or to confirm your own beliefs.
Or, or it's you're not allowing him, through the Bible to interrogate your soul.
Right.
You read the Bible to make God into your image instead of to be made into his image.
Right.
Yes. And we can all fall into that pretty easily. I always make fun of, like, so they have the American Idol. Mm-hmm. We have a Christian Idol. We really do. And we make a lot of Christians out of idols. Mm-hmm. I remember our founding pastor, she used to always say, "Don't look at me. I'll let you down.
Right.
I'll fail you." And, right. You know, she was like, "Hey, don't make me your idol." And this is a person has, you know, had great signs and wonders and tremendous knowledge of the Word of God and a relationship with Him,
right?
And just loved Him and would lead people to Him all the time, constantly. Mm. That was just her, okay. Yeah. But yet she said, "Don't look at me, because now, like, oh, I want to be like JT." Mm-hmm. I do a little bit. I like your shirt. I'm going to take that shirt later. It'll be a little small on me.
have we had enough Christian idols break recently?
Oh,
that we can realize that's not a good thing to do.
Yeah,
I won't name names, but
no, it's
has enough happened.
And well, it seems like every month some Christian idol falls.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the Christian idols that fall now is when they fall on top of people and take a lot of people out with them.
Yeah.
Because other people, because that's their idol, that's their hope, that's their image of God.
Yes.
Right.
They now, when that God fails them, then they think God has failed them, or there is no God. Like that. That's another part of it that's really rough. And I think, you know, here we are, you know, bringing God to people. We do that our lives as ministers. We've dedicated that to Him and to His work. But we have to be so careful that we point people to Him.
Right.
Like, yes, you're going to get some accolades. You're going to get some noticed, and you're going to get some of that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's how life is. But the reality is, are we clear to show people God? And I like to say this, talking earlier about children. To me, when you're raising children in their early life, you're God to them. You provide everything for them, and you talk God to them all the time. "Oh, geez, come here, I'll pray for you. Jesus will heal you."
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we poo-poo that, because I believe God actually heals them because they have faith.
Sure.
You know, and God actually heals them.
Yeah.
And we just go, "Oh yeah, well, they weren't really hurt." It's like, no, they were really hurt. They got they got healed by God.
Right.
But the deal is they come to you, "Papa, I come to you because I'm hurt. I'm out, you know, or I'm sad," and you comfort, and you are God to them. And, you know. And a good father, in the process, you have to, and it's a very interesting process, you have to pull yourself out of the way.
That's right.
And say, "See, there's God."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a tricky thing.
I tell Lainey, you know, you have dad God and you have daddy.
Yes.
And you have two daddies. And she'll go tell people, I have two daddies.
Oh, great.
I have two daddies. And that raises a lot of questions.
That's a whole other set of questions.
But it doesn't create an idol, though.
It'll open up doors for you.
She does. She has two daddies. One of them's better than the other one.
I love it.
Hilarious.
That is wonderful. So, but it's true.
As you started saying that, I was thinking that about the, you know, the Christian idol idea. And that a lot of, you know, well-meaning, and myself included, there's times where I've like very much idolized certain teachers and certain preachers at certain churches. And I'd listen to everything they have and read all their stuff and was like, "Wow, this guy's amazing. And, look what the Lord's showing him. What does he have to say on this? What's his take on this?" Right. And for a while it was kind of innocent. And then after a while it was like, I wasn't even going to the Word anymore. I was just going to get this guy's take on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the Lord was like, "Wait a minute, what about our relationship? Mm-hmm. What about what I have to feed you?" And he's like, "You're always going to these, you know, ministers who are talking about me and serving and providing, if you will, like providing a meal. They're preparing something for you and you're eating from them what they've kind of prepared. But what about my table? And what about what I've prepared for you?" And then, you know, when he brings you back to that, you go, "Wow. Actually, what this person was speaking on was a piece of it. But what the Lord wants to show me is like the buffet before me and all of what he has laid out for us." And I feel like as a father too, like to your point about the children, one of the things the Lord showed me a little while ago and I've started to do, and I have to remember to do this, is to, like you say, olay and get out of the way, right? So as they're coming to me and they're saying, "Dad, can you pray for me for this?" I was like, "Why don't we bring this before the Lord? together. Yes. Let's pray about this before the Lord, because he's the one who will heal you. I'll pray, and I want you to agree. But, you know, we need to get out of the way and let the Lord, let the Lord introduce or kind of open up the way. I like to say, like, at times I'm the maitre d' that just, like, goes like this and says, please, let me escort you into the throne room. Mm-hmm. Just go left and stay straight.
Right.
That's it. And you'll find the king.
Yeah.
And that would be, you know, like a remedy. I just want to throw this out there for anybody who does have a Christian idol or has been idolizing somebody on TV or this or that. And what the hard thing is, I think a lot of times, is not that people are literally worshiping them, but they really respect and revere the way that they handle the word of God and the way that they teach the word of God. The problem, though, that I find is that they just eat what that guy's preparing or woman is preparing, and they don't go get into the word and eat themselves.
Right.
And so when that person falls or disappears or, you know, passes their legacy on to somebody else, all of a sudden their sustenance or their provision, you know, for the word of God, it dwindles, and they are left anemic and without the ability to, you know, create and harvest, if you will, that relationship with the Lord and eat directly from his table. Like, that's what that picture was like coming to mind as you were sharing that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we must introduce children into. By the way, this is why, speaking to our culture in America, this is why I think we see a lot of times young people kind of cruising by the church or come in, and they will have nothing really to do with it because they're like, hey, I got my idols, but you have yours in there too. And you're not really introducing me to him, to God. You are introducing me to your flavor of idol that happens to be called kind of the same name as God. Right.
Interesting. You know, what's interesting. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, like you said earlier, idolatry is about control. Mm-hmm. Like, I can control God. I can make him do this. I can bring the harvest. I can bring the rains. I can bring satisfaction. I can bring comfort. If I do X, Y, Z, then I get this output. Mm-hmm. And that's what the world's doing, right? If I work hard, if I have this contact, this network, if I do this, you know, so that's not any different. Mm. Where the true God, you do not tame him. You do not control him.
That's right.
Where the spirit of the Lord is freedom. Mm-hmm. And we all, through in a mirror, are beholding that image. Mm. And we're being transformed into the same likeness. So, like, we're beholding this totally free being. And we're becoming free. And that's what the world could never replicate, because that's a system completely based on the idol of mammon or power or, you know, whatever. It's not based on a free, loving God. Mm-hmm. It's not based on the real thing. And so I love what you said. It's like they're looking in and they're like, well, I mean, how is your life any different? Like, how are you practicing this religion? It's another form of control. It's not the freedom of the Holy Spirit. It's not Jesus himself, who is totally free. Obviously, he was a man of peace and discipline, but he was completely free.
Right.
And that's what blows you away about Jesus and about the accounts of God in the Bible. He does whatever he wants, and he's doing the right thing in it. He's not like, oh, I guess I have to do this because, you know, it's just, he's not like that. He's not an idol that has a form that's encased in gold and it's never going anywhere. It's trapped there. He's not.
Right.
He's totally different than that.
Right.
So, let's put God in a box. One of us should write an essay on called Taming God, because that's
the history of the Christian church. Yes.
It'll be one page and it'll be really short. It's like, you can't.
Oh yeah. That wasn't the real God, period. So, okay. We've talked a lot about how bad these idols are.
Bad.
They're so bad. No, but anyway, so I just wanted to make sure we ask
good idols if you want those.
I just wanted to make sure that we say, how would you break an idol?
Hmm.
How would somebody listening, how would they get free of this? Maybe you have a testimony or something, or just a pathway from the word of God to be free of this,
right?
Like, to not have this worship disorder, right? To actually, actually be free.
Well, that'd be a whole lot of transparency going on.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you. I'll talk about a guy I know.
Yeah. My friend Jeribai had this addiction. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to talk about Jeribai's addiction.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it was actually an addiction, but it was bothering me for the last 3 months. I've been off of Facebook.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah. I liked Facebook. I went on. I didn't do weird stuff on Facebook. I didn't like post weird
Farmville
stuff.
Farmville.
Sure. You know.
You weren't getting your Facebook daily horoscope?
Well, maybe.
Only on Fridays.
Only on Fridays. Sorry. I'm a Friday heathen. But I was actually in a class and I'll just give her kudos. Pastor Liz was actually speaking about repentance, right? And I'm just there minding my own business and, you know, studying, you know, we're co-teaching and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me in the class and he said, get off of Facebook. And I'm like, and so like right in the class, I'm pulling out my phone. I had my phone and my iPad, study idle tools. And I like immediately erased the two apps. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I put it away. And the weirdest thing about it, I mean, it was a rare moment of repentance and actual follow through. But the strange thing is I haven't missed it.
Yeah.
Like at all. Yeah. Now, I feel like sometimes I think like I'm missing things, like somebody's like saying something mm-hmm. I should know about. Mm-hmm. Once in a great while, I feel like it's a bit of a voice, but I don't feel like I'm missing. And so like, I think maybe in the future, I'll give something for someone to put on their Facebook and they can go propagate it. If I feel like it has to be voiced somehow in that arena. Like I'm not against people who are on it. I'm not suggesting anybody else get off of it, right? Mm-hmm. Sure. But you're asked about, and I didn't see it that way, but it mm-hmm. really was that. And sure. I was like, I had to go look at it. I had to go see what was going on. And mm-hmm. I was like, and then God just like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
Get off of that now. And just to be able to help somebody with their idol, whatever it is, that may not be theirs, right? But what he told me at the time afterwards when I did that, he said, you know, that was kind of simple. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
He was like, you know, you only have to take a small step and I will take care of the rest.
Right.
So that's what I would speak to anybody who's having an issue with that. Is like, really, God's only going to require a very small step from you.
Yeah.
It might look like a gigantic step from your position, the idol is gigantic.
Right.
From God's position, it's like, where's that idol? Yeah. I think, okay, there it is. Right? I've dusted it off. Yeah, and so that's the reality, is that it actually doesn't take a lot.
That's good.
Now, we can build up an idol in our minds so it overtakes us. Mm-hmm. So like, I have to have that. Right?
Yeah.
Like a drug, right? Like an addiction.
Soltai.
Like yes. Soltai, yes.
Soulmate. There
your soulmate. Yeah, right? That guy. And we can build it up that way, sure. And it will remain that way as long as we keep it there. Like, that's the deal. God, when he was talking, and like I was mentioning earlier about the scriptures out of the prophets, and it's like, you make the idol with your hand. It can't do anything.
Right.
So your own hand is taking the idol to you and making it your idol. And so I believe, and I'm going to talk, like I said, you asked, I believe that someone listening, if you can look at this thing, and I'm not going to minimize it. I realize from your perspective, it looks impossible.
Sure.
Like it looks impossible.
Right.
It's not.
You know why it looks impossible, right? It's because these things are not, like you said, they have no power in themselves, but when we take it into ourselves and we worship it, there's power behind it. Mm-hmm. And so these images, these idols throughout the Bible, they're connected to demonic thrones, mm-hmm. demonic powers, right? So it opens a door. When you worship something other than God, you are slaves to the one you obey. Mm-hmm. And if you worship sex, you're going to be enslaved by that. If you worship food, you're going to be enslaved by it. Mm-hmm. The approval of man, you're going to be enslaved by it. You worship a person, you're going to be enslaved by that feeling of fear of man, right? Whatever fear there is. Right. And so you're actually being compelled and intimidated by the power connected to that false worship.
Right.
And that's what these demons have done. Instead of, you know, like we're getting into weird theology, but you know, there's like the thrones that are over the nations. Right. And instead of governing the nations, they said, oh, we'll have them worship me instead.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so they want to take on that false worship.
Right.
There's beings that would love for you to worship them.
Right.
You know, they're not the Most High God. And when you open those doors and you serve things, you're opening yourself up to that. And so I think I would strongly encourage people, if it seems impossible, that's all the more reason to get help, to confess to somebody, number one. Mm-hmm. Any idol I've ever had, I've had to confess that to somebody. Mm-hmm. I haven't, I mean, maybe one or two I've been able to deal with, but not usually. Not if it's like a real deep worship thing.
Sure.
Like, you got to get light on that. Mm-hmm. You put it out in the light where it can't live. And once you unmask it, you know, then people can pray for you. You can mm-hmm. be delivered of that,
right.
And you can replace it.
Right.
That's the key. Like, 'cause otherwise you're going to rebuild that thing.
Right.
Like, if you tear down an idol and you don't reinstate the true worship, pretty soon it's going to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
Well, it's the other half of the mm-hmm. confess and forsake.
Yeah.
Right. And it's that part. It's the forsaking part.
Right.
So we need to realize that even though these things are pieces of wood, or they're a smartphone, or they're a bank statement, and they can't deliver you, they can bring something in that's going to enslave you. Mm-hmm. That might sound spooky, but it's like the spiritual realm is a real thing.
Right.
Where if we open to God, we worship him.
Right.
He's safeguarding us.
Yeah.
We're letting him in to fill the temple with his glory.
Right.
We're not going to, the evil one cannot touch you in that case.
That's good.
If your worship is pure, mm-hmm. So I think we have to break that. We have to have the temple clean. But then, like, I think we learned from the history of Israel, they would cleanse the temple, but the high places,
right,
the other false worship sites all throughout the kingdom, those would stay built.
Right.
They would go, they'd wipe them out, and within a generation they'd be back.
Yeah.
So even if you've cleansed the inward part, you got to just, you don't re-download that app. Mm-hmm. Don't get back to open internet access till you're ready for it. Don't go to a bar until your sponsor says you probably should never do that. If you're an alcoholic, right. You probably just should never do anything that could rebuild it. Right. Like, 'cause you need to be diligent, not just to break the idol, but to keep the high places cleansed and to reinstate the worship of God in that place.
And one more thing, I'm gonna give you a chance.
Yeah, it's okay. But,
I
think a lot of the things we talk about, also a lot of Christians will say, well, or either poo-poo those things or say, hey, I'm not dealing with those.
Sure.
Right. So those aren't my idols. All right. So I guess I'm good. I'm guessing for most people, including myself, the final and worst idol you'll have to deal with is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, perfect Bob. Perfect David.
Perfect Bob has a,
my will.
My will be done. and the reality is, so if you're not dealing with addictions and pornography and drugs and going after, craziness, and praise God.
Right.
Okay. That's wonderful news. It's great. but God is also like, he will have no other God before him, right? And so ultimately he will deal with the pride.
Yeah.
And he will, he's a gracious God. He'll deal with it in time, and he'll have you see it. And you will wind up having to die to yourself in that process.
Yeah.
So we're bringing people into kind of the deep end here of the swimming pool for, Christians listening. Mm-hmm. That was nice for those other people. They have to deal with those other things. But sooner or later, we're all going to have to deal with us and how we look at ourselves, how we want to promote ourselves.
It's harder to get rid of the idols that help you than it is to get rid of the idols that hurt you.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, Dave, because I was going to come full circle to what you had said earlier about that. It says that idolatry is like stubbornness.
Mm-hmm.
Idolatry is such a stubborn thing to deal with because, like you just said, it offers us benefits.
Mm-hmm.
To a degree, mm-hmm. right? Like, I serve mammon because I can buy things with money, right? Or I serve self, or I read all these books, or I do all sorts of self-help because it puffs me up and gives me knowledge. It makes me feel valuable, right? So it does do something that seems beneficial, but the biggest problem with that, right? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul?
Yeah.
That is the epitome of what the pride of life is vying for. It's trying to get us to buy into a system that gives you everything, but at the end, you fall short of the glory and you fall short of the relationship with the Lord. The number one thing that came to mind for me when we talk about how do you deal with idolatry is really simple, like Dad was saying, as Pastor Bob was saying. It is to ask the Lord, do I have any idols before you? it's that simple. And let Holy Spirit speak to you, and he will gently, because this is how he operates, he will convict you, and he will show you areas where you need to start to detangle yourself from whatever said item it is. For me, this has happened to me multiple times for multiple different things. One of them was music, which is very interesting. And I don't know, it was about 2 years ago. I was listening to some music, and I just felt a little tap from Holy Spirit saying, hey, why don't you shut that off? I got something for you. And I was like, yeah, but this is my morning jams, man. Like, this is how I get going. I'm getting it, you know? And he's like, well, you can get it. That's fine. Or we can hang out. Your choice. And I felt like, felt a little guilty. Well, since you put it that way. So anyways.
Didn't you ask him if he had like his own thing that he wanted to listen to?
What kind of electronica do you got, Holy Spirit?
Download me your...
Yeah, yeah. Send me your playlist.
Playlist.
He puts on Handel's Messiah.
Yes. Hallelujah. No, so anyways, the point of it was he showed me where I would start my whole day, and my day was centered around listening to music. And I didn't realize it at the time. I thought it was fairly benign. It's not bad music. It was good lyrics and uplifting and had a good beat. And I'd just get up, get about my day and pray for my family and bop, bada, bop, and off I go. And next thing you know, he's like, what if we didn't listen to anything? What if you just prayed in the Spirit? What if? And he started giving me a bunch of ideas, kind of recalibrating my own imaginations in my mind. And I was like, okay, this is cool. It's kind of quiet. I can kind of hear everything. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of good, right? Because I want to whisper. I want to tell you something. So this was a very simple, but yet profound, I'm going to call it a remedy, to begin the process of detangling and detaching from the idol of news, of music, of entertainment, of you have to watch your show every what's and what's night so you know what's going on. Like, the only way to detangle from that is to just, Lord, is this an idol? And yeah. If he says yes, you go, wow, I didn't realize it. Let me step back from this thing. And like you said, Dad, it's simple. It really is simple. Now, will it be tough? Yes. You know why? With every single idol comes habits. When we start worshiping something, we're creating a habit of affection.
Yeah.
Like you just habitually worship and serve the thing. And so we have to break free from those habits at times. And it takes a good hard stop, because it's going to be stubborn. It's going to want to pull your attention back into it. And I deleted Facebook too, beginning of the year. Oh yeah. I got on Facebook, I got on Instagram, I didn't like what I was seeing, and I was so sick of it. I was like, I'm done with this algorithm sending me crap that I don't need to look at. I don't want to wrestle with it anymore. Hold, made it dance, hit the delete button, and it hasn't been back on my phone since. So for 3 months, I've been Facebook and Instagram free, and I love it. Yeah. I have no inclination to go find that thing, and it's just like so freeing. So whatever it may be, just put it before the Lord, ask him, you know, Father, is this an idol? And he'll be gentle and let you know, and then he'll help you. Yeah. He will give you the power to be able to pull away from it and stay separated from it. And he'll separate you, not just from it, but unto himself.
Yeah, that's right. Important.
You know, I know we probably have to wrap it up here, but there's something I wanted to say, and it's something that Pastor David brought up earlier, and it's out of, I believe, Colossians, about covetousness and idolatry, and how God connects the two. And I believe it, speaking to what's happening, especially in America, but maybe in a lot of other places, actually, I know, covetousness is a tremendous power behind idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want what somebody else has, right? It's the heart of adultery, right? It's the heart of stealing. It's the heart of killing.
Yeah.
It's the heart of a lot of things, right? It's I want that. And it's
gossip.
It's all of that. And when you look at the root of it, you see, you know, the bad guy, Satan, when he was, you know, he was a covering cherub over the throne of God.
Coveting cherub?
Coveting cherub. Exactly that. It's like, I want that.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that. I want that. Mm-hmm. And so there'll be no gods before me, God mm-hmm. says. But mm-hmm. I think covetousness, it's interesting. It's only that one scripture where it's connected so directly, right. but it's so profound when you think about it, because a lot of things that you are either tempted with to make an idol have that covetous aspect under mm-hmm. kind of right. underlying. Right. I wanted to leave that with us as we
well, it's so important.
So we know, so people know there is a major mm-hmm. connection. He mentioned it kind right. of like real quick. Yeah. But I wanted to come back to that because that's like, to yeah. me, that's where the heart of it is.
Yeah, that's the root of it, like you mm-hmm. said.
Well, like, I don't think idolatry can live in a seedbed of contentment.
No.
When you have godliness with contentment, you have great gain. And that's what God's will is for us. Yeah. You know, that's what I would leave us with is there's a contentment in God that has so much peace, so much joy, so much purpose to your life that maybe it's not as flashy. Maybe it's not as like, oh, I could get that thing. You know, it's like, it's not the, you know, the Red Bull of coveting, but it's a long-term energy of some good roast chicken with some, you know, mashed potatoes, whatever. It's good. It's good stuff.
We're going to have all these advertisements behind us next time.
this episode is brought to you part by.
And when you have contentment, right? Like when you have coveting, when you have idolatry, it'll ruin everything that's positive in your life. Mm. You'll put your family down, your kids, your wife, your ministry, just to get that thing that you idolize. Mm-hmm. Where if you have contentment to thank the Lord for his blessings,
yeah.
to apply your faith and like, Lord, you've given me what you want me to have. Use me for your glory. Give me you. Mm-hmm. You are my ambition.
Right.
I covet your presence.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to point my desire towards the Lord, pursue him, mm-hmm. pursue the image of glory that he's given me, his son. I'm going to pursue Jesus. Then there's this contentment that's so powerful that the enemy is trying to, you know, throw all of this bait out and get you coveting. Mm-hmm. But you say, why? I mean, I'm complete in him.
Right.
I'm complete in him.
Yeah.
He's never done me wrong. You know, there was an account I just heard of I believe it was Polycarp, early church father, and he was getting martyred and he was 85. And they're like, come on, old man, just deny him and we won't burn you. Yeah. And he says, for 85 years, I've served him mm-hmm. and he's never done me wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, I'm not going to leave him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we can come to with the Lord, the relationship that yeah. Jeroboam started by talking about where there's no coveting, there's no idolatry. There's a pure worship and a pure right. love. And so that's what we want to encourage you to pursue. So we will, we'll check in with you next time on the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.